I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E. Pluribus Unum.
Falsely accused me of being involved in a racial incident.
He said you were
involved.
He said
you were racist.
He said he worked.
You are very racist.
He said he worked.
You're going to be dealt with.
He said he worked for you.
It's going to come to light who you really are. It's going to come to light who you really are.
Hey, just answer one question. Yes or no?
What about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Thursday, January 25th, 2024 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. Thursday, January 25th, 2024. Happy birthday to a certain someone. Man, you're getting old. This is the year to discuss warfare. We'll get into that in a minute. Clausewitz is famous for writing that war is merely the continuation of policy or politics by other means. War, therefore, is an act of violence to compel our opponent to fulfill our will. Back in the early days of search when it wasn't completely worthless, and studies show, isn't that posted on RBN? Yes, Virginia, there is a search conspiracy. It's becoming more and more worthless for you and I. The average, well, Google searches anyway, and I think by proxy, most others. Before it was completely worthless, though, the definition, I forget where they pulled it from. They pulled it from somewhere specific, but the definition of terrorism talked about, you know, using violence to bend someone to your political will. So, Clausewitz, war is merely the continuation of policy or politics by other means. War, therefore, is an act of violence to compel our opponent to fulfill our will. And those words were famously written almost 200 years ago. And my version today in 2024 is that politics is skullduggery, warfare by contemptible means. All warfare is perception management, and all perception management, warfare. So we'll get into that. First, some things before we begin. You know, I'm just going to keep doing the prayer thing. I'm not trying to sneak up on anyone. I think that's evident by the fact that I'm, you know, full disclosure, basically. I think from my vantage point, the battle that we face, or the war that we're in, I mean, is a better way to put it, and the skirmishes that ensue are primarily spiritual in nature. And if you're a Bible-believing person, it's easy, I think to get caught up in things, speaking of perception management, maybe sometimes we're encouraged to get and stay caught up in things, be fearful in those kinds of things. When, in fact, the Bible clearly says in Ephesians chapter 6 in the NASB, I don't like that. I prefer the King James when it comes to this. So let's do that. Starting in verse 12 in particular, well, Paul gives the admonition, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And this idea of standing fast, steadfast, is reiterated. So he goes on, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, as we presume. And you know, when you're reading in the book of Revelation, for example, and you know, you read about princes, that's interesting. The Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. There are these princes that rule over principalities. We read about them in Daniel, for example. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So, finally, stand therefore. Isn't that three stands and also a withstand? And it's interesting, most of the armor is defensive in its orientation or nature. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Man, that's pretty good admonition. Most of the armor is defensive in context and nature. Gird your loins about with truth, defensive. Breastplate of righteousness, defensive. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, defensive. Shield of faith, defensive, primarily in nature. The helmet of salvation, defensive in nature. Sword of the Spirit, there's one that is offensive and defensive. And one that usually gets overlooked, maybe, is prayer. You could argue prayer is one of those, same thing, like the sword, both offensive and defensive. Those who would dispute offensive prayer, I would point to the imprecatory Psalms as a starting point. You know. So, with that in mind, that's where we begin. And so my prayer includes the armor. I already read that, so I won't do that. But, you know, also, the Lord's Prayer. This is sort of a model that I think I'm just going to adopt, throw it out there. And for whatever it's worth, if it's useful, great. So what is referred to as the Lord's Prayer, we find in Matthew. Chapter 6. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Don't be a hypocrite. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. It's almost like he's saying, who are they really praying to? And from these people, you know, that they want their prayers acknowledged by whom they want their prayers acknowledged. They have their reward. Guess what? It was acknowledged. They saw you. Congratulations. Mission accomplished. So Jesus says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That's a pretty sweet deal. Not that you're praying to be rewarded, obviously, but it's a pretty sweet deal. And I think that there are, speaking of the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places, I think there are onlookers when we pray. Maybe not always, but maybe sometimes. So Jesus says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. 1 Corinthians 2 tells us spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. The Holy Spirit is the helper. So he says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask of him. I was just talking to a friend yesterday who said, you know, that he essentially made a request in his heart to God, didn't really even pray about it, and a couple of requests, and they were essentially met. This friend is going through a difficult time in life, experiencing injustice in a way that most people probably neither can comprehend nor could they bear. And he's doing it with grace, more and more grace. It's really amazing to see. TCM has been replaying Gandhi, starring Ben Kingsley. I think, what was that, 1982, something like that? I think that might have been Ben Kingsley's best role. Anyway, throughout the whole movie, if you've seen it, you know that the idea of nonviolence is the whole deal. You know, nonviolent noncompliance. Gandhi's saying, you know what? It has to be this way, and it's different. There's no malice in there. So what? We should all be like Gandhi? No. I mean, there's, you know, I don't know. No. Gandhi is not Jesus, and, you know, there's the metaphysical, theosophical stuff, and all that kind of stuff. Not saying that we're not worshiping Gandhi or Ben Kingsley or the movie or anything. It's just an example. It's illustrative of someone who seems to be operating from a place of no malice. And usually what we want to do is kind of come around this, you know, that's kind of depicted throughout the whole movie. This idea of, you know, we're going to backdoor our own brand of violence, and we're going to come at this differently. We're going to come at this indirectly. And eventually we'll wind up at our own brand of might makes right. Then that wasn't what Gandhi was trying to do. Anyway, it's different. So, your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask of him. seeing this friend suffering tremendous injustice and just becoming more and more basically purified, I think, sort of by the experience, in a manner of speaking. Less and less caught up in his own suffering and so forth, more and more concerned with the well-being of those around him. Less and less anxious about his own condition, more and more trusting of his Heavenly Father. It's pretty remarkable. Maybe someday I'll get to explain more. Not right now, but anyway, hearing him talk about not really even praying, but just saying, you know, to himself, gosh, you know, sure would be nice if this, sure would be nice if that. And those being wishes, maybe arguably prayers to some extent, your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Seeing those things come to fruition, you know, some might say, well, you know, that sounds kind of like witchcraft. No, wasn't that he was trying to arrange anything or whatever, just, you know, a little wish, gosh, it would be nice if this could happen. Anyway, it's, I think, arguably miraculous what's been happening to him, and would that it could happen to all of us. Because we're all encouraged to be disturbed and upset in this society rather than at peace. What is to be done? Joel chapter 2, maybe. Maybe we'll get to that. I don't know. Maybe that's too much Bible for one day for some people. Anyway, so the Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And then finally, to round out the prayer, my prayer for the day, no weapon formed against the righteous shall prosper. All who walk in error would come to know the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father, cometh unto the Father, but by me. No one comes to him, lest the Father first draws them. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. You know the deal. Reveal our hypocrisy and double-mindedness, please, dear Father. I pray that unrepentant evildoers be brought swiftly to justice. Again, this echoes the imprecatory Psalms. And that wickedness be brought swiftly to an end. Righteousness be restored in the land. Echoing the imprecatory Psalms and perhaps places like 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is my prayer. It's a spiritual battle we face, primarily, first and foremost, above all. And I think it's important to keep those things in mind. You know, the malice that we're encouraged to feel toward one another is real. It's not accidental. It's not coincidental. It's very real, and it's very intentional. Speaking of perception management, stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stand off. Don't tip on hands. We're working the clearance right now. Over. Roger. That's a firm. I have PID on individuals digging in the road.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Got a guy digging. I can see.
Received confirmation that there are no friendly in the area. Over.
Okay, good job. You're clear to engage. Over.
Pastor, we're turning inbound. We'll be engaged at sun now.
Sorry. Missile away.
Missile's away.
After that.
Keep it on there. Buzz the gun.
Yep.
Get on the guys.
We're about it. Be inbound.
It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new light.
Welcome back. Yep, we're at war. Politics is skullduggery. Warfare is yeah. Politics is skullduggery. Warfare by contemptible means, and all warfare is perception management. And all perception management warfare. Interesting how the DOD and the military-industrial complex has sort of weaved in and out of using the term perception management, especially in the post-9/11 era. And, you know, propaganda and PSYOP is sort of, you know, what are we going to call it? What are we going to call it? Nah, it's information operations. It's narrative management and perception management. That's what this is all coming down to. You know, it's management of the narrative arc and perception management as a result. And doing it in a way that is not only imperceptible, undetectable, unattributable, but, you know, it will come to him as his own idea. Reminds me of Whitaker Chambers talking about his experience at Columbia, you know, having a religious upbringing, so to speak, and becoming an atheistic communist at Columbia. And he said, you know, it was entirely my idea. Yeah, that's what Bernays said. You know, it will come to him as his own idea. Because it's the same thing there. School is definitely in the crosshairs. That work attributed to Alice Bailey, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, the Tibetan, her demonic spirit guide, says that the Masonic lodges, the churches, and schools are the primary breeding grounds of this satanic hive mind. Why is everyone marching in lockstep? Because they believe in the metaphysical concept of the 100th monkey and all that nonsense. We all have to put our shoulders and our backs into the wheel work of this nonsense. This is how the Great Wall of China gets built. Everyone will participate, dear comrades, or you will be buried in the wall. This is what's happening. Perception management is an interesting discussion. And speaking of the apostate crowd, in sort of thinking about this concept of perception warfare, as you might call it, there's a piece titled, it was published back in what, 99, 2000? No, yeah, 2003 maybe. I want to say it was 99, 2002. Anyway, in the Journal of Information Warfare, in the early post 9/11 days, there was a lot of stuff that was, you might call it more honest or whatever. And this one was Perception Management and the Art of War, a review of Finnish propaganda and present day information warfare. By Aki Mari Huttunen and Jari Rantapple Konen, I think is, you know, I'm not Finnish, so I apologize. Anyway, interesting piece from the abstract. Perception management is an integral part, is integral to the art of war. Skillful use of information warfare, psychological operations, and propaganda is problematic, however. Based on Maurice Merleau-Ponty's theory of perception, practical examples. Now, that's interesting because this fellow, Maurice Merleau-Ponty, like so many others, factors into warfare information and so many things. Realpolitik and so on. It's funny how things come full circle. I encountered this fellow along the way, you know, because, you know, the behaviorist, Marxist consciousness, Heidegger, you know, cultural Marxist, metaphysical perception management, Cartesian crowd. So coming at it from that end.
Missile away.
Missiles away.
And then bumping into him on the perception management and warfare end.
Get on the gas.
Interesting how things come full circle. We're headed into a break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
X-ray, Cobra 1-1.
Roger, it's clear.
1-1-3, Roger, go ahead.
1-1,
OJ, where are you at?
On 2 personnel, top of the ridge line, launching rockets, inbound hot. Auto field view.
There we go.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Welcome back. So we're still in the midst of the quilt raffle. We're still doing that. And you can check out the website for details, the page. This is to support the network. A fabulous package gift containing a Confederate battle flag quilt. RBN mug, t-shirt, business cards, bumper stickers, great stuff. Let's make RBN great again, shall we? Seriously, please support the network. This is a great way to do it. This is fun stuff. Make a donation of $250 or more for your chance to win, your opportunity to win this fabulous packaged gift. You can also simply make a donation. Do that a variety of ways. You can jump on the website, click the donate button. You can call 800-724-2719 extension 3. You can send a check or money order by mail, payable to RBN. Send to 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. All of that is much appreciated. This is a listener-supported network, and it takes a village to support the network, not a Ford Foundation grant. And if you don't know about foundations, their power and influence, then check out the Reese Committee findings. Or read Renee Wormser's book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence. Because he was there. So, the Reese Committee it's discoveries cannot be understated and are still relevant to this day, even though that was 70 years ago. So, speaking of warfare, Wormser was part of the Reese Committee. Anyway, back to this guy, Maurice Merleau-Ponty. So, speaking of the apostate crowd, right from Maurice Merleau-Ponty's Wikipedia entry, Merleau-Ponty was raised as a Roman Catholic, which, you know, not Orthodox Christianity. It's a cult, but, you know. But how can you say that? It's ecumenical, or it's, you know, universal Christianity. That's the definition of... Yeah. Jesus said, don't call anyone father except your father in heaven. We're not supposed to be worshiping Mary, who ultimately seems a lot like the goddess of a thousand names and so on and so on. So there's all of that ritualistic stuff that is cult-like, unfortunately. And, you know, if you listen to Tex Mars, he said that Kabbalah is a sex cult and therefore all of the other religious cults are of their father, Kabbalah, you know, sex cults. And that's why we keep seeing all this crazy stuff in the Catholic Church and the Mormon Church, you know, these kinds of things. I think there's a reason. Anyway, from his Wikipedia entry, Merleau-Ponty was raised a Roman Catholic. He was friends with the Christian existentialist author and philosopher Gabriel Marcel, and wrote articles for the Christian leftist journal Esprit. But he left the Catholic Church in 1937 because he felt his socialist politics were not compatible with the social and political doctrine of the Catholic Church. That's interesting. So apostate rebels, like their father the devil, you know, Karl Marx, Carl Jung, Sigmund Freud, Nietzsche, you know, they always end up going a particular direction, and it's kind of a ye shall be as gods. You know, to answer the question, who's in charge, who decides, they want to say they are and they do. So continuing from the Wikipedia entry, Merleau-Ponty first taught at the Lycée de Beauvais and then got a fellowship to do research. Let's see, from 34 to 35, he taught, then in 35 became a tutor where he tutored young Michel Foucault, another deviant, and was awarded his doctorate on the basis of two important books, La Structure du Comportement in 1942 and Phenomenologie de la Perception, 1945. So the phenomenology of perception. And during that time, he attended Alexander Kohevi's influential seminars on Hegel and Aaron Gerwitz's lectures on Gestalt psychology. So this is what kind of guy he is. An apostate, rebel, psychological manipulator. I call them generally alchemical metaphysicians. Now, this is where the Herman Kahn's come in, the Dr. Strangeloves, the Strangelovian alchemical metaphysician crowd, where they want to manipulate people, get everyone wired together in hive mind fashion, you know, contributing to whatever it is they're trying to build, and you know, working against themselves and one another, really. Anyway, back to the piece that I mentioned, Perception Management in the Art of War, a review of Finnish war propaganda and present-day information warfare. This is interesting, just from the abstract. So again, based on Maurice Merleau-Ponty's theory of perception and the practical examples presented in this article, Finnish Winter War and the War on Terrorism, that's the examples. It can be held that perception and its interpretation can never be certain. If perceptions are manufactured, and this gets into weird sort of woo-woo territory real fast these days, you know, men who stare at goats kind of territory. If perceptions are manufactured, and it's interesting how psychedelics are always involved and, you know, stuff like that. And these days, everybody's all about that. It's great, you know, MDMA therapy. It's great. Let's do it. Yeah, ketamine, DMT. It's a family, you know, it's not just for breakfast anymore. Interesting how that works. If perceptions are manufactured, they can become counterproductive. The way in which perceptions arise is characterized by dynamism. According to Merleau-Ponty, there is always a middle ground between us and the enemy, a field that distorts and limits our view of the enemy. Therefore, in this article, we propose that we can direct propaganda only toward ourselves. It's an interesting thought. So perception management is an interesting subject that's discussed below the surface but not often recognized by the general public. In fact, there's a gentleman who wrote a piece that's published on LinkedIn, Brad C., whoever Brad C. is. The Great Illusion, Why DOD's Reinvigoration of the Term Perception Management is Just Old Wine in a New Bottle with a Different Label. This is published November of 2023. The term perception management has been associated with a range of activities aimed at shaping the perceptions of various audiences to align with desired strategic outcomes. It has been gaining traction, again, within the halls of the Pentagon and Department of Defense, DOD components recently. However, in the early 2000s, DOD deleted the term perception management, as it is the de facto definition and function of psychological operations, or PSYOP, under the information operations / operations in the information environment, IO/OIE construct. The deletion of the term from DOD lexicon reflected and affirmed that perception management is a core function of PSYOP, a critical component of a more comprehensive IO framework. The current push for the reintroduction of perception management as a separate term and concept within the DOD shows a misunderstanding of history, terminology, the operational environment, and established capabilities. These capabilities have already been resourced by DOD for multiple decades with policies, doctrine, funding, etc., and already reside within the DOD, DOD's Joint Chiefs, Joint Staff Service Component, Combatant Command Task Force, J-39 Service Equivalent Architecture, Public Affairs Commander's Communication Synchronization, CCS process. If anything, it is another contemporary highlight showing a lack of understanding of how influence activities overall within the DOD. Specifically relating to this article, it shows how PSYOP has been increasingly neglected within soft DOD writ large, allowing its real capabilities and strategic efficacy to diminish since the PSYOP master plan of 1985. It is an issue that must gain greater and focused attention by senior leaders in DOD and Congress. I think this probably, you know, there's more, but I think there's more happening than meets the eye, and some of it is out in plain sight. I've mentioned some of it recently, the JSOC stuff in particular, but I thought it was interesting. Some of the comments to this post, this LinkedIn post, are both amusing and provocative. Perhaps the most amusing and provocative, maybe even, is the comment by someone called Rich Davenport. Maybe DOD should call the term perception is reality management. Maybe so. That's a keen observation. When it comes to education, it is actually a critical task for PSYOP to advise the commander. That would be a great opportunity beyond the classic OPD and COPD opportunities to get in front of the powers that be at all levels, so to speak. Maybe one day through a new master plan. Maybe one day, though, a new master plan could be genned up. I think it's supposed to be genned up to adequately address the 21st century OIE. And hand it off to the SecDef for review. That is if he's alive, if we have proof of life. Or maybe everyone is cool with chaos everywhere and status quo. So it's, you know, one of the things that's fascinating to me, again, and I've talked about this before, is, you know, folks like Henry Kissinger are alleged to have remarked that military men are just dumb, stupid animals, cannon fodder. And it's fascinating, you know, speaking of sort of coming full circle, you have the intellectuals and the academics represented in folks like Maurice Merleau-Ponty and the you know, the warrior class obviously is incorporating some of this intellectualized stuff into warfighting capabilities. But it's interesting how unaware it seems some people are of the you know, the compartmentalization, how willfully ignorant, I suppose, some people remain. And I think a lot of that has to do with self-preservation in a sense, because if your mind is, if your mind is allowed to chase some of these things out to their critical end, one cannot, I think, but realize that at some point, at some level, all of this ultimately results in self-harm. Because, you know, whether it's the notion asserted by the authors of Perception Management and the Art of War, a review of Finnish propaganda and present-day information warfare. Their assertion, if perceptions are manufactured, they can become counterproductive. That too, according to Merleau-Ponty, there's always a middle ground between us and the enemy, a field that distorts and limits our view of the enemy. Therefore, in this article, we propose that we can direct propaganda only toward ourselves. You wonder why these exercises and things go on. That's a hint at why, and why they're publicized for the world. From that all the way to what happens in a world that is just sort of characterized by information warfare, psychological warfare, and perception management. Not a good world. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Gunnery.
Direct.
Kim, here I am. All right. Coming at you on the geometry. Off the trigger.
Strangler burn.
IED in placement at this time. 10 meters. I got to get this frequency quick here. We got to get these guys, and I got to be able to clear this battle space on the number of insurgents and any collateral damage that you can accept, and we'll be standing by. Over.
Welcome back.
Look at that guy on the other end. He's digging something.
Yep, Roger. He's digging right now. I can see him.
Oh, gosh. So, what is the point of all of this? There's so much perception management going on, whether it's, emulating things. There's the piece. You go back to Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. There's the monograph. Speaking of the early 9/11, post-9/11 days. How to Win Friends and Influence People, Planning Perception Management at the Division and Corps Level, a monograph by Major Noel J. Bryan, United States Army, School of Advanced Military Studies, United States Army Command and General Staff College, Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, published back on November 5, 2004. Report actually dated May 26, 2004. And from the abstract, we've all heard the saying that perception is reality. This statement is especially salient when discussing military operations in a post-conflict environment. The implications of the perceptions of the local populace during the transition period from major combat operations to a stable, steady state of a state environment, the global information environment, threats from insurgents, and the presence of non-governmental organizations, NGOs, creates operational conditions rarely experienced before. But this is so much bigger than this. You know, it's so much bigger than post-conflict. That's dishonest. Those who have been a part of unconventional warfare operations know that, you know, what happens below the surface, the tip of the iceberg everybody sees, is usually influenced by what's going on beneath the surface, and then things bubble up and you have fifth column efforts and things like that that destabilize and topple governments and organizations to create a post-conflict environment. You know, you have to have destabilization if you're going to have stabilization and reconstruction or stability operations. And by the way, the, let's just call it, theosophical crowd has been very interested also over the same course of time, and actually before the institution of the institutionalization of the military industrial complex. They've been concerned with creating a general sense of dissatisfaction in people. They know that to get people to move, we need to inculcate in the minds of those people a general sense of dissatisfaction. An unfavorable opinion of whatever element or aspect, whether their station in life, their government, or whatever. To move people along, they have to be dissatisfied. And so in comes perception management. So, you know, whether it's that esoteric aspect, the military, whether it's the Bernaysian contingent, whether it's the things happening in the educational system, so-called, or, you know, the marketplace emulating the Bernaysian, or the people themselves emulating any number of these things, we're sort of overwhelmed by perception management efforts.
Direct.
We're told that, you know, the tips, tricks, and techniques to be able to do that are how we get ahead in life. From Dr. Spock to Edward Bernays and everything in between.
Gunnery.
Direct.
Not a better world. And I would call it warfare. Perception management is warfare and vice versa. Stick around. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back after this short break.
IED in placement at this time. Centimeters. I got to get this frequency quick here. We got to get these guys, and I got to be able to clear this battle space on the number of insurgents and any collateral damage that you can assess, and then we'll be standing by. Over.
This is Fish Tampa.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.